like to introduce our speaker. His last night here, Mr. Mike Chase. That's, and let's give him a big warm welcome, everybody.
Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Either because they're too lazy, they're too scared, or they weren't given the opportunity to do the program as outlined in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Robert shouldn't have died, you know. We have a program. We have people willing to help him. And I'm tired of that happening. And we need to each get through the steps. We got to get connected to God and become the most effective sponsors we can, because this isn't effing silly stuff. This is serious stuff. We got people dying. So I'm going to set my timer for 2 minutes, a little meditation, get connected with your conception of God, and why don't you ask him what you can do for the alcoholic who's still suffering, because we're the only people who can help each other. I'll see you in 2 minutes. Come on and join me. This is our fog light prayer. God, let your love shine through me for those who are lost, sick, and dying, so they can find your love through me. Therapy is great. Doesn't cure alcoholism. Rehab's fantastic. It's the start of a journey to a new way of life. If you're the real addict alcoholic that's found on page 25, which I was, and a few, should be on 24, there's a bunch of us in here tonight. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reason yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. That's from there, from the part of the book called There's a Solution. Dr. Silkworth wrote this. Faced with this problem, if a doctor is honest with himself, he must sometimes find his own inadequacy. although he gives all that is in him. And this is a really good psychiatrist. This is a guy who went to some of the greatest schools on the East Coast. You know, he didn't go get his little CAP certificate or community college. This guy knows what he's talking about. Although he gives all that is in him, it is often not enough. One feels that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. Through the aggregate of recoveries resulting from psychiatric effort is considerable. Group processing, sharing your feelings, dropping your problems at meetings and stuff. We psychiatrists must admit we made little impression on the problem as a whole. Many types do not respond to ordinary psychological approach. If you're an addict and an alcoholic, all that therapy is going to be good for you. It's going to help you deal with some of your issues, but it's not going to get to the underlying issue that you're an addict alcoholic. We need something else. He also writes, I do not hold with those who believe that alcoholism is entirely a problem of mental control. I started doing this big book sponsorship about 7 years ago. I've been in the room since I came in 1984. Had sobriety, middle of the road, 12 and 12, meeting makers make it, yada, 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 for 15 years. And the only way I stayed sober was going on sex sprees, gym sprees, shopping sprees, travel, you know, the sprees we do to keep us from what happens. And I'd usually go home at night and just not really want to. Life was great, but it wasn't great. As long as I had a spree, I was comfortable. Ended up going on that six-year relapse because meetings don't keep people sober. Fellowship doesn't keep people sober. A relationship with God keeps you sober. Now, I had a white light experience in 1984 that changed my life. From a revolutionary, I was a lying, cheating, stealing, low-life, self-centered, inconsiderate, backstabbing, incredibly nasty thief. And over one night, I woke up the next morning, I had a connection to God, my life had changed. Every idea I thought had shifted to a better idea. Problem is, I didn't know how to keep it. You know, I went to rehab up in Hazleton, they gave me all that pack of crap, and then I came down here to Florida, and Florida was all about, let's not really deal with the big book. You know, we got this great little 12 and 12, and we're a bunch of meeting makers making, that's fellowship and stuff like that. And over the next 15 years, that relationship I had with God just sort of sputtered away, and I found myself wanting to die again. And luckily, I didn't kill myself because God has better plans for me. And it wasn't to like get sober in 2006 and, you know, become the employee of the month, which is good. I want to become an employee of the month. I like the, you know, I like the parking spot. And I like the stuff, you know. And it wasn't to be, you know, the most successful dater or, get back into scuba diving, which I love, and a lot of things. I truly believe that God gave me a second chance because his kids are dying. You know, I've been around long enough to go to enough funerals. I see that this is a serious thing. And one of the things that's causing these people to die is ineffective sponsorship. These people come through rehabs. They go to middle-of-the-road contemporary Alcoholics Anonymous where they think, you know, just put the plug in the jug, 90 and 90. Don't take that sponsorship so serious stuff, you know. And people have been dying left and right, and I'm tired of watching that, you know. So I decided, well, what's worked? You know, I did some history checking. You know, Dr. Bob, one of the most prolific sponsors we ever had from 1945 to the day he died, he brought like 5,000 dudes and gals through the book. Or excuse me, not through the book, to God. He wasn't a booker. He was an Oxford grouper kind of guy. And this is a guy whose life was dedicated to just helping people. But if you look historically from 1935 to 1939, doing the Oxford-style recovery, they successfully got maybe 67, 72 people sober. That's 4.5 years, and they only got that many people sober. Thank God they got sober, right? That was the beginnings of Alcoholics Anonymous. These are the people who put our book together. But when the book came out, those numbers dramatically changed. And the reason it changed is because they started using the book for which God gave us the book to be done. There was this guy named Clarence Snyder. He had gotten sober in Akron by Dr. Bob, and he lived up in Cleveland. Now, the Oxford group at the time was this really fundamentalist, hallelujah, give your life to Christ organization. And if you were a Catholic, you really weren't supposed to be going because this was a Protestant organization. So up in Cleveland, the priests were telling their guys, hey, you can't go down there anymore. You know, you guys, but we're getting sober. He said, hey, that's okay. You know, this is, you're Catholics. You can't go to that thing. So Clarence comes down and tells Dr. Bob this. Hey, Bob, my guys can't come to this Oxford group stuff anymore. And Bob sort of goes, well, that sucks, because Bob truly believes that the program was, at that time, the Oxford-style recovery. And Clarence point blank told his sponsor, imagine this, telling your sponsor this, I'm not going to do that shit anymore. We're going to start reading the book with the guys, because the book had just come out. So he had come down not to get permission from his sponsor, but to tell him what he was going to start doing. He was going to sit down and on page zero, read the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is where the program and the solution was found. And Bob just wasn't going to take it. He's like, no, you can't do that. And he's like, well, I am. I'm not. A little argument goes back. He ends up telling Dr. Bob, says, it's okay, because next week up at Fred's house up in Cleveland, we're going to have our first meeting. We're going to start reading the book with each other. Well, a week later, Dr. Bob sent a bunch of his guys up there, and this fist fight occurred, this arguing and stuff, you can't do this and stuff like that. Because Dr. Bob really was believing that the program was the Oxford style, and the book was maybe something that was going to be addition to it. Matter of fact, what he was doing was causing a lot of confusion in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous at the time. It wasn't even Alcoholics Anonymous, the rooms of Oxford group. This is from Conference Approved, Alcoholics Anonymous, AA Comes of Age. Old-timers in New York and Akron were regarded this fantastic phenomenon with deep misgivings. They were not happy with the fact that they weren't that he was going to just start using the book to get people sober. But what happened is, one alcoholic who was recovered sat down in the privacy of his home with an unrecovered alcoholic and just started on page zero and reading the book. Doesn't sound like, you know, just bring your it sounds too simple, I guess, as a lot of people like to say. But within 1 year, when he first started reading this in 1939, Clarence had 12 recovered alcoholics in Cleveland, and there was one meeting. 1 year later, 365 short days later, they had over 300 recovered alcoholics in Cleveland and over 30 meetings. Now, some people like to say, you know, Mike Chase, you got to quit pushing this big book sponsorship. There's other ways to do it. All I can do is look at the success rates. We were talking about the sports, right? If you want to find out how to win soccer, world class, are you going to ask Brazil or Germany? I'm going to ask Germany, right? So I'm going to go to the guys who have the success rates that really count. As a matter of fact, forward to the second edition. They're trying to show how we had progressed in 16 years. So when they went around the country to find the best success rates, they went to the guy Clarence Snyder in Cleveland. And this is the success rates he was selling. Of Alcoholics Anonymous who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. That means at least half of you guys are going to be sober working with sponsees next year. And 25%, that's another quarter of you, are still going to be sober next year. And 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder of those who stayed with AA showed improvement. The whole purpose of this whole program is to save lives. Somebody once came up to me and said, you know, Mike Chase, this isn't about numbers. You know, all these people you're talking, it's like, they're not numbers. These are people's lives, you know. And we're uniquely qualified. In the book, it talks time and time again that one alcoholic working with an alcoholic, there's that magic, you know, relationship that develops. Who's had a non-alcoholic therapist before, you know? Seriously, just raise your hand. Have you ever had a... So, who would you rather talk to, the non-alcoholic therapist or the alcoholic tech? You know, the alcoholic tech. You know, yeah, you get some great therapeutic stuff from the therapist, but that relationship of one alcoholic that works with another, that's what got us sober here. Bill W.'s story is littered with telling us, you know, you need to get a relationship with God as rapidly and thoroughly as possible, and then take what God has given you and go help somebody else. Who's never sponsored anybody in the rooms? Who's never sat down and read the book with anybody? See, this is what it's all about. We wonder why people die and stuff like that. It's because a lot of people aren't out there doing what we're supposed to be doing, helping each other. And it's really easy, and it's fun, you know? You start on page zero, and you just start reading the book. When I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was really confused on how to sponsor people. You know, I had this big book sponsor. He brought me through the book. We were a little reading. And then he got involved in this relationship and sort of like disappeared. And I was left hanging in this middle of the road home group. And this guy comes walking around the corner. And I'm just sort of like, this guy's sort of spooky looking. I hope I locked my car. He had actually just crawled out of a bush. And... But he had this big, giant fork on the side of him. You know, I could just tell that this guy was done, you know? And I had been sober now 6 months in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had the big book sponsor who got me through the book, and then he just, you know, actually he got his girlfriend pregnant. They got married, and then, you know what happens? He left. I'm starting to get a little itchy in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I wasn't sponsoring yet, and I was a service guy, you know? And I was still doing general service. And a lot of stuff for my home group, but I was really starting to get squirrely. It wasn't, the magic was sort of leaving, that sort of, I didn't have anybody sort of watching over me, holding me accountable, directing me and stuff like that. But I knew that I probably should sponsor, so I just started sponsoring this. I went up to him and said, do you have a sponsor? And he said, no. I said, okay, I'll be your sponsor. Because I didn't think of anything else to do. You know, I was literally dying in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous again. So I sat down with the guy, you know, and I had done this Hazleton thing 15 years ago. So I sort of incorporated this Frankensteinian program that I sort of invented. It was like a little bit of Big Book, some 12 and 12, and a lot of Hazleton packets. You know, here, do this and go home and call me and we'll talk about it. You know, it wasn't this hands-on type stuff. It was more like, here's your assignment now, go away. And I'm going like, yep, gave him an assignment. That was so cool. Look at me. I'm doing really great, you know. These guys got through the assignments. They got through the stuff I did. And these guys are sober today. They're not sponsoring people. You know, they got on with their lives and they're doing something like that. And there was this little thing that's missing, you know, that you find in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Repeated time and time again. It stresses working with others. Bill W.'s story. See, Bill W.'s story is fantastic. It takes us through the whole progression of alcoholism. This guy who starts out normally like us, started out sort of normal like me. And as alcoholism took over his life, he lost control. And he was on his deathbed, right? This guy's dying. And Abby Thatcher shows up with his solution. And he's like arguing back and forth. You know, well, I don't know about this and stuff like that. But he did finally get through the program, the Oxford program. But Bill was running around town for 6 months trying to recreate from memory what Abby Thatcher did, but he didn't want to go the whole Oxford group because there was just too much, you know, hallelujah tambourine shaking, so he was sort of like inventing this thing. And for 6 months, his success rate sucked. Well, as a matter of fact, for 6 months, he didn't get anybody sober. He was able to stay sober himself. And the reason it is because he didn't really have a program to follow. There was no book for him at the time to follow. But the stuff that he was able to get after, you know, you abandon ourselves with enthusiasm, the idea of helping other alcoholics to the solution of their problem. You know, once him and Dr. Bob got together and they were able to come up with a solution that was working continuously a little bit better, then Bill W.'s life was turning around. I was fortunate for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. Which is a good reason, you know, don't go out and get yourself your first career job again. You know, give yourself a year to just sort of, you know, marinate in recovery. Spend some time with just your sober friends. Get into sponsorship whenever possible. Because as soon as you start getting back into your lifetime career, you might get pulled away from Alcoholics Anonymous before you had a chance to really get baked in it. This is Bill. I was not too well at the time. I was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes newly drove me back to drink. But I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. I've been doing this Big Book sponsorship, you know, 7 years, something like that. And I think there's been a lot of old life and death situations, you know, like maybe going to lose a good client or an argument with my roommate or my car breaks down or my neighbor, you know, the stuff that used to just drive me crazy. I've been so busy, you know, sitting down working with newcomers and bringing people through the book and stuff. Life just sort of fixes itself. I'm not out there trying to correct everything. It's just as long as I stay out of the mess just sort of cleans itself up. And that's what I learned from Bill's story. I'm talking to a man there. I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It's a design for living that works in rough going. So I'm 100% behind, you know, this thing called Big Book Sponsorship, the thing that Clarence Snyder did. When Clarence Snyder was doing this stuff, he started bringing guys through the book, and it got out in the newspapers. And next thing you know, Clarence is overwhelmed with people coming to him saying, hey, we need some help going through the book. So he's got about, you know, 15, 20 guys going through the book, and about 60 guys are showing up. Now, he's only got about 5 guys that are currently all the way through the book or has had the 12-step experience. He just started getting guys reading the book with each other. If they've been through up to a doctor's opinion, start reading the forewords. If you've read anything, start reading down and sitting down. And we started finding out the way to stay sober was developing a relationship with God. And one of the best ways to develop a relationship with God is by this intensively working with other alcoholics. And that's how those numbers started growing. And people are getting sober. And a lot of people are under the belief that Alcoholics Anonymous sort of started in Cleveland because of the way that it grew and spread back in those days. Today, I have a very large family of people I brought through the book. There's a bunch of guys that stay in contact with me. There's a bunch of guys that have found other sponsors. You know, like who remembers your nursery school teacher? And your first grade teacher, and your fifth grade teacher, and your sixth grade teacher, you know. I'm currently on my fourth sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. I've learned a little bit from each of them. The sponsor I have right now I'd love to hang on to forever, but I'm sure someday some part of me is going to need for me to go find another one. For the guys who are just starting out on this whole concept of even sponsoring, it does sound sort of scary. You know, it's like, oh, I got to be his therapist, or I got to be his life coach, or I got to be his lawyer, or his healthcare practitioner, and stuff like that. That's not what it's about. You know, when the book first came out, they had a thing, they referred to it as protege. The word sponsor comes from the Oxford group, where in order to get somebody to come into Oxford group, you had to, like, pretty much qualify that he's an addict, alcoholic, and you'll keep an eye on him. But they've tended to use the word protege, which I think is a great way, protege or teacher. I like the protege myself. A friend, one who is protected or trained by a person of experience. You know, when I start working with guys, the first thing we do is we sit down and we get to know each other a little bit. I do the talk. A lot of times if I meet somebody at a meeting, you know, we go on what we call the walk. You know, we go around the block, we get a little conversation, find out where they're from, who they are, you know, what their drug usage history is, what their criminal history is. You know, actually just showing a little bit of interest in these guys, because a lot of guys coming in the rooms right off the wild, a little shaky and scared. Nobody gives a hoot about them. So by showing a little interest in them and talking to them, I'm starting to prepare myself to be able to how to work with them when we start getting into the book. And then I just invite them over to my house and we sit down. There's this belief structure that in the book it says, send them home with your book to read the first 164 pages. And then but what's happened is the reason that they have that in the book, back in that day, nobody had the faintest idea of what Alcoholics Anonymous was or any 12-step program. So the purpose of that was so this guy is going to read this and get an idea of what he's getting involved in. You know, there's a lot of people who tend to like use that as sort of an excuse not to sponsor people. Said, you know, preconceived walls to keep yourself from sponsoring. So let's not try and do that. Remember, we got these guys who are out there dying, and we got an opportunity to work with them. I don't want guys to become entirely dependent on me. You know, my job is to get them through the book as rapidly as thoroughly. And at the same time as I'm bringing them through the book, I'm educating them on how to take this message and pass it on to somebody else. My guys are usually sponsoring 35 days after we start reading the book. And these guys, it's not hard science. You just sit down and read the book and show some interest. The concept of getting God in your life isn't all that difficult. And the concept of the book is really easy. You know, the book is written to be mailed out in a brown paper wrapper to some guy in the middle of nowhere. You know, Iron Range Bob, who lives up in northern Minnesota, he could have got this book mailed to him all by himself by just reading the book, following the directions, would have that spiritual experience sufficient enough to recover him from alcoholism. So the cool thing about this, being the fact that I've been through the book and my guys have been through the book and they understand the process of the book, to sit down and share that experience with another brings it to life. It takes the whole thing of going through the book and makes it a journey that's fun and exciting. You know, the guys that I take through the book, they're excited. They want to come back the next week. And it's a sneaky process of, it's not sneaky because we start off by praying and meditating. But the whole process of sitting down, working, getting to know each other, God starts getting involved. You know, it's not like I'm trying to like force them into a relationship with God, or, you know, it just happens by two people, a recovered alcoholic who's connected to God, hanging out with an unrecovered alcoholic, talking about spiritual things and improvement in life. And then we finally get to the steps. That's when it gets fun. I follow the book page by page, word by word. And, you know, the success rate is pretty good in our family. We have a lot of guys staying sober. And the guys that want to go out and do some more experimenting, you know, they come running back when they know that it's not going to work and they know what to get. You know, they know there's more than just going to a meet and listening to somebody complain about their lawnmower not starting for the rest of their lives. I like to talk about this analogy if you want to get a bone away from a pit bull. You know, if you go up there and this pit bull's chewing on this big-ass bone and you try and just drag it, you know, try to wiggle it away from him, you know, he's going to bite your hand off or growl. It's not going to work. And as soon as he's just going to try to get it back. But in the recovery and sponsorship, bringing people to God, my analogy is you walk up to that pit bull at the big old porterhouse and you just dangle in front of that little dog his nose and he sniffs it and he drops his little bone and you take that porterhouse and toss it aside and he goes after the porterhouse, completely forgets about his bone. Which is why we have more than one sponsee. This is why we continually work with sponsees for the rest of our lives. When that porterhouse is done, we get another porterhouse. The porterhouse is working with others. If you've never brought somebody through the steps, you don't know how fantastic it feels. It's a rush. It's an opportunity to be connected to God. I never feel closer to God than when I'm sitting down working in a room with an alcoholic. That's when I think God is using me at my greatest. That's when I feel the connection. And to see the light come on in these little guys' eyes, you know. You meet them and they're smelly, they're dirty, they're lost, and they're distracted, you know. But as they start to come alive, as you see the light, and nothing's better than to get a call from somebody and say, I just got a sponsee, we're starting to read the book tomorrow. And see them at a meeting with their eyes lit up, happy, joyous, and free, and with a purpose in their life. 15 years of sobriety, in and out, middle of the road, blah, blah, recovery I had, you know. Never brought anybody through the book of health. Never sponsored anybody. Never did any, I did all the chairman stuff and stuff like that, but I never actually did the dirt work. The important part of bringing people to God. Today my life is amazingly gifted. God has given me amazing people in my life. I got a lot of very dignified men in my life that I never thought I'd be able to know. My family looks up to me today. God has blessed me with an opportunity to sit in a room full of you guys, you know, in a room of people that want to get sober. And hopefully I can share something over this past week, 5 weeks that you guys were able to pick up on. This is about seriousness of people who are dying, but it's also about having some fun. You know, there's this lighter part of it, but there's this seriousness that's really important. And my advice to everyone is, you know, just take this serious, get through the steps as quickly as possible, and start helping people, because your life will get better and other people's will too. And that's what I'm going to finish with tonight. God bless you guys. Thanks.